Time again on Coast Access Radio for another age-friendly cities and communities program. Jill Stansfield is here representing the Kapiti Older Persons Council. Welcome again, Jill.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
I'm delighted we still can have you through these red traffic light systems with the protocols in place. I'm glad we can still do it face-to-face. There's nothing like talking to or with someone and you can see them rather than through a computer screen.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I know we've had to do phone interviews in the past, but that's a funny feeling because I don't know how you are choosing to interact. You don't know how I'm choosing to interact, and it doesn't help, does it?
No, no. And a lot of older folk, for example, don't have those facilities. Yes, they'll have a telephone, the old-fashioned telephone, but they don't have the video conferencing or they don't have the know-how to do it. And for their peace of mind, and mental health is just as important as physical health, isn't it?
Well, it's actually getting to be even more important in some ways because it impinges upon physical health.
Yeah,
and it's pretty hard to do something about it once it's happened.
But, you know, basically things will never be quite the same again. That's a fair comment, isn't it, Jill?
Yes, it is. And from my point of view, I guess I'm approaching life in general in a slightly different manner. And mostly, I've been trying to focus on being better prepared in all ways, like, for instance, driving on a full tank of petrol rather than waiting until the gauge drops to a low level, and keeping up with grocery supplies. Oh, here's a biggie, renewing my prescriptions well before they run out. And that's something that people really do need to think about.
Is that going to be a problem? You know, I know we talk about some supplies, like at the moment they're talking about things like Panadol and throat lozenges. No, they're not necessarily prescription medicine, but it's a similar scenario.
It is. Look, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and it's quite funny, really, because I suddenly thought, of seeing you're on that topic of paracetamol, I suddenly thought, oh, goodness, I don't think I've got any paracetamol. Well, I had, but I just had forgotten where I'd put it, as it were.
Yeah, well, that's true. Even a spare book you talk about, too.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I sort of think that reading is special because it's something during my working life that I often really had very little time to do. In the recreational sense, plenty of time to do work reading, but not recreational reading. And now I find if I think I'm about to run out of something to read, a little bit of panic sets in.
I mean, it's great to keep in touch with everyone, family and so on, but for older folk, it's just that much more important. So even if you're listening to this program and you're not necessarily someone who's in the more mature category, it's always nice to just be in touch with someone who is a little more mature, shall we say, than you. You know, your grandparent. Just phone them and just say, hey, is everything okay? Now, 99 times out of 100, they'll say yes, but that's not necessarily the case, and we know that.
I know, but it's quite hard to get sort of people who are not accustomed to keeping that, relatively constant contact going. It's hard to change their mindset in some ways because they kind of, there's the risk of feeling that they're intruding as well, which is, of course, totally irrelevant when it's something like just saying hi, goodbye, as it were.
Yeah. The vaccination scenario, most older folk, you know, and like most folk in any age category are vaccinated these days. Mm. Now, currently in New Zealand, there is no law that says you must be vaccinated.
No, they were talking about that on the news this morning, weren't they? Yeah.
Been talking about that.
Off and on, yeah. But, you know, I think we're very lucky in New Zealand, and I sincerely hope that our statistics in terms of the actual cases continue to sort of be at the low level because, you know, and I think thanks are due to all those people who have been vaccinated because when all is said and done, that's our best insurance, I suppose, is the way to put it.
I think so. Protection. Personally, I agree with that. There will be some people, for whatever reason, for medical conditions, cannot be vaccinated. Now, you know, is that more prevalent in older people?
That's a good question, and I can't answer that, but it's something that I should think about. And I do know that, from my point of view, of, as people will remember, I'm a resident at Somerset on the coast. Therefore, Somerset had provided the second vaccination that I had. It was actually Westbury Pharmacy from here that were the deliverers. And so in that sense, I'm sort of thinking, well, you know, we really need to make sure that even if we do have a small percentage of those who don't get vaccinated, we have to keep that level of, what's the word for it, live vaccination current in the community. And as I already said, we've been able to do that at the Somerset, well, village is the right way to put it, and we're going to get our boosters on the 1st, so that 1st of February, I should say. So, I mean, that takes a lot of the worry out of it, because the big thing with older people is not all of them can get out and about as they once used to. Some of them have lost their driver's licenses, and that's different, isn't it?
I got my booster the other day, and there was a mix of older and newer folk, and that was again in Waikanae. So again, you mentioned Westbury Pharmacy, so they supply that.
Yeah,
but it was interesting to see the difference this time around. This is my booster, and the first and second shots, no waiting at all. This time round, it was a full house. So, you know, people, the vast majority are doing it.
Well, let's hope that we have people who maintain their level of immunity through vaccinations, because that way we are all going to be much safer.
Yeah, and mask wearing as well.
Oh.
And again, there are some people who have reasons why they can't wear masks. And again, I just wonder whether that maybe is a fraction more prevalent in older folk for respiratory problems and so on.
Can't answer that one either, I'm afraid, but it's somewhere to take a conversation when I'm next in a group. But yeah, I think that it is a personal responsibility. If you are physically able to wear a mask, you should jolly well do it. And I've even taken to keeping a spare one in my shoulder bag. And that's the shoulder bag that I take everywhere. But, you know, I do have that problem with it making my skin itch. Because when I am in a situation such as I am right now, I can take it off my mouth and nose, drop it down under my chin. And when it's under my chin, if I leave it there too long, it actually irritates me badly. And what I need to do is to compare whether a new one does that when compared with one that I've washed, because I know you can wash them quite a few times, and I've started doing that. So I'll do a little comparison, because then I know it's something that's used in the manufacturing, and I know to wash them all before I use any of them. I suppose others will have that problem too.
I guess. Also an incentive for many men, for example, to shave, because it's a little hard with a beard to get that full covering. And I guess we can say, you know, 99.99% men rather than women in that sense. But, you know, that's something. That was something that Graham mentioned a few months ago. He had a beard for a while. And he said, no, I've got to shave it because I've got to put the mask on.
Well, I'll be blowed. I'd never thought of that.
And make it fit.
Yeah. Otherwise, the breathing air, if you like to put it that way, will be going in and out of the whiskers, won't it? Really, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go on to other topics now. Your newspaper column, you're back into that for 2022, Jill.
Yes, absolutely. And it's all very relevant, as I've said before. It's the one topic that seems to be coming back into conversations all the time. And that is, and I guess you're wondering what on earth I'm on about, getting out and about with ease. Yes, back to accessibility. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, accessibility is definitely more of an issue for older people. And it is this age group with whom I do mostly have conversations. But it's something that will ultimately affect us all. And I say that because we're all aging from the day we are born. It's the one thing we do have in common. And to give you a couple of examples, if you're a mobility parking permit holder, you should be able to park your car in a designated parking space, then move from your car to your intended destination without any steps or serious hindrance blocking your progress.
That's a point, because there are some of those mobility parks that basically have the same problems with curbs,
yeah,
and so on, yeah. And you've still got to step up to get onto a pathway to go to a shop, for example.
It's not supposed to be like that. It's not in, I mean, it's written into the New Zealand Standards Document 4121-2001. I think it might be page 49, but I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. But, that continuous level from your car door to the place of entry is supposed to be totally, what do we say, barrier-free? Is that the word for it?
That's pretty good. Obstruction-free?
I like that one better because it jolly well is an obstruction.
Yeah, yeah. And even things like, you know, the parks are wider for doorways.
Oh, yes.
Coping with wheelchairs and mobility scooters and so on.
Yeah, passageways. You never really think about that, but think of a passageway. Would two mobility scooter users, and I'm thinking of the ones that are between buildings outside, would two mobility scooter users be able to pass in all of those?
Yeah, passageways, footpaths, those sorts of things. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, quite yeah. Right. It's food for thought. Mm. And, you know, people on crutches will benefit too. And it was so funny, you know, as a school student, I once sprained my ankle. I think I was in about the fourth form. And it was during phys ed, and we were doing leapfrogs. And I came down, and the ground was uneven, and turned my right ankle completely under me. And, oh, boy. Do you know, it wasn't until I had to deal with that that I even began to have an inkling of understanding of just how difficult it was when something impaired your mobility. And, okay, I was a kid, so in a lot of ways it wouldn't matter the same. But, oh, boy, it was a shock.
We never think of it for things like being in home where you've got one or two steps maybe down to a kitchen or a bedroom or whatever and getting into the shower. You just never, ever think of it.
No, you don't. And that's one thing I'll say about the showers at Somerset. The bathroom is all one level. Yes, it slopes down a little bit into the shower to prevent water getting out and about into places it ain't wanted.
That's logical.
But, yeah, it is just continuous, and all I can say is thank goodness for that.
Yeah, so all those points basically support ability to move out and about and get out and about and place to place with minimal difficulty, Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I emphasise that because social contact interaction is extremely important at all stages of our lives. Mm. And social isolation and loneliness is more common in older adults, particularly as they are more likely to be living alone, to maybe have lost family and or friends, to have chronic illnesses or even have hearing loss. And research has found that social isolation is also associated with about a 50% increase in the risk of dementia and other serious medical conditions.
That's quite a statistic.
Isn't it ever? I mean, it's very sobering when you think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a total aside, but it's one that really blew me away. You all will remember that I've sort of had, interesting health situations.
Yep.
And believe it or not, one of the things that several specialists commented on the last time I went to a string of specialist consultations, I suppose is the word to use, at Wellington Hospital, they said that I had made what they called outstanding progress, and it was due to my attitude.
Now, that's interesting.
Isn't it interesting?
That is very, very interesting, because you can also develop an attitude, for example, in hospital. Hospital isn't a hotel. You know, people complain about the hospital food. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that.
Yeah.
You know, these people are working their butts off for a lot of people, some who will be, I mean, I've had first-hand experience, some who will be in worse-off positions. And you sort of very quickly learn to respect these people. And while it's hospital food, actually it's not bad. To be fair, I didn't have a problem. My expectations, I'm not expecting, windows on Wellington. They go back a while.
God. Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I do completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit that hospital food, from my point of view, it was probably better than I expected it to be. And I had sort of anticipated that it might be bland and tasteless because of the fact that it'd be kind of more mass produced than you do at home. But no, it wasn't half bad, so I was pleased about that.
No, but, you know, you're looking at, you know, increasing the risk of dementia and, and medical conditions and so on, and loneliness, those sorts of things. And it's some amazing and interesting facts and statistics and so on. You know, it rivals things like the physical conditions, obesity and smoking and yep. those sorts of things.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, social isolation and loneliness in itself increases the risk of premature death from all causes. Mm. And as you've said, it may be equivalent to that of obesity, smoking, and sort of limited physical activity. But in the USA, loneliness among heart failure patients was associated with nearly four times increased risk of death.
Gosh.
68% increased risk of hospitalization and a 57% risk of emergency department
So that
visits.
Asks the question, so what do we do to make us less likely to suffer from the likes of loneliness?
Yeah, and that's a hard one. And if I talk about myself, I've never felt socially isolated and alone. I have, and lonely. I have on occasions thought, oh, here I am all alone. But it doesn't bug me because I've got heaps of things to turn to that I can do. And I wonder if that's the answer.
Well, that's, you know, we talked about it earlier in the program that, you know, check up on people from time to time.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Make a phone call, knock on the door just to say hi,
yep.
sort of thing. You know, yep. know your neighbours, for example. Know who these people are.
Yep.
And there will be some people more needy than others. And I guess it's a fact more than anything. The older you get, the more cocooned you get. And I say that because, you know, again, it's that scenario of, you know, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. When in reality, they're not that fine. It's
yeah.
just a question of checking and making sure, you know, it doesn't hurt. And you could even argue that goes for any age to a certain extent.
Well, I think it does. And I know that in an age when you sort of can think about people being tech savvy, and yes, you've mentioned the fact that we can use the good old landline, but you know, a quick call on a cell phone is okay as well. But I then think that if it's just a quick call, it's not going to engage the person mentally, and therefore it's not going to be as much help as you might hope it could be.
Mm.
That's a worry to me.
Yeah, I understand that. It's more like, hey, you know, here's my list of things to do. I'll ring Nana. You know, are you okay? Yep, okay, thanks, bye. That's not quite what we're talking about.
It's hard though, isn't it?
Yeah. Staying active, that's something else, you know, you have to do as an older person.
Yep, absolutely. I try to do 3 30-minute walks a week, and I go to three different exercise classes actually at Somerset. Two are one after the other, and the other is on its own. But I think the big thing is though that we all need to focus on the ways in which we can exercise. And quite funny, because if we're confined to our homes, I can recall having a friend visit once who was a fitness fanatic. And when she was visiting, she went to my pantry and grabbed a couple of identical cans of food. And don't ask me what the contents were, because I've forgotten it long ago. But she used those in place of weights to do arm exercises.
Oh.
And you know, that's interesting. In other words, we've got things there that we could use if we choose.
Like your tin of baked beans, which weighs about a pound and 450
yeah,
gram
exactly.
tins.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
It was just so funny because she'd actually got a leg injury as well at the time, so couldn't really walk around very much. So she would spend up to an hour waving those cans in different ways. And I mean, she's one of these who is still an absolute fitness fanatic and does major tramps now, you know, days at a time. And she's only a little bit younger than I am.
Well, here you go. I don't often brag about things, Jill, but I managed to do the Paikakariki escarpment walk, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Good on you.
It was just there. It was one of those hot days. So it took a few stoppages, but you know, you do that. And who did I come across? I came across our Peter and Claire Fleming, who are known to this radio station. And Peter, you know, I don't think he minds me saying, he, you know, 75 and so on. And Claire, younger than that, shall we say. And there they were, you know, quite happily getting out and about and getting exercise. And that's just the epitome Not only physical exercise, but it's good for the brain.
Oh, absolutely. It staves off mental illness and problems of social isolation and loneliness. And we know now how that can impinge on and create other related problems, which is a bit scary in a way, I think.
Well, that's right. And that gets you thinking about, you know, how we manage our lives during not only lockdowns, but just times where people have lessened their mobility. And, you know, you don't want to be stuck at home. You don't want to be bored.
No. And this is where I think it's really important that hobbies come into it, because they can become quite generally lifesavers, mm-hmm. you know. And I think, too, that people probably need to think about, extending their hobbies and interests when they do retire. I know many do, but there are also some who don't. And I really worry about the people who sort of retire and almost shrink and withdraw, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Because there are some people who do that.
Yeah, some people take up artwork, drawing, for example, play new games. Those that are a bit more tech savvy can do some of that online, but sometimes it's good to pull out the old Scrabble board and you've got someone to play with the old-fashioned way.
Absolutely. And I've got a near neighbour at Somerset who, when her son visits, always ends up playing Scrabble with him.
That's great.
Which is lovely, yeah.
You know, it's come back. I think jigsaw puzzles have made a bit of a comeback.
I definitely think that they have. If I talk about myself, I've got three apps that are jigsaw puzzle apps. I try always. There are usually about 100 to 120 pieces. Mm. And, I can get those down. The fastest I've done one was in 8 minutes.
Wow. That's great.
Well, yeah, but it is a sort of an ongoing, situation where you're constantly problem solving in a minor way, if you know what I mean. Yeah, you're not thinking in a usual manner.
Yeah, no, understand that. And it's good to have family send things like that to you. Just, you know, here you go. Just have some fun with it.
Absolutely. But then if I sort of think about that a little bit further and think about developing different interests, I have an interest in what might sort of be recognised as spinning, or spinning wool in particular. And whenever I need a new, very thick, warm winter cardigan or jacket, I get out my spinning wheel and start spinning.
Wow. That's great.
And it's just good because, well, what's so interesting, and people may not realise this, every fleece is different. What I do is I comb the wool, because that way I get all the fibres parallel. I then spin it from the reverse end, so I'm ending up with the fluffy bits going in last. Now, once I've plied that wool up, I then have to do test knitting to see how many stitches come to the inch. And then I have to design the garment, and then I have to knit it.
Wow.
So it's not just a matter of getting the wool and spinning it. It's a matter of all that is part of it, because every fleece is different.
Mm. So this is great for older folk, and as well for those who are disabled or even recovering from, say, some sort of surgery, for example.
With limited mobility.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yep. And even in these sort of COVID times as well, you know, they're telling us, okay, make sure you know, if the Omicron outbreak, bang, explodes like they say it's going to do, then you've got to have something to occupy yourself.
Absolutely. And I've sort of also thinking about other things that I used to do in my past life. I used to do printing of cards, in particular using old-fashioned lino. You know, that sort of more rubbery, quite thick lino tiles you could
do that at school.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Well, this is the same sort as that, because I knew where the supplier was. And I've done that as well. And I suppose that lino might be a little bit hard to come by today, but luckily I've got some on hand.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased about that.
Now, statistically, I'm just reading through some of these statistics here, Jill. Mm. In New Zealand, 1.1 million people identify themselves as being disabled. That's about a quarter of the population.
I know, and that's serious when you think of it.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of questions that I'd like to ask authorities around that, because I'd like for a start to know to what degree of disablement do you have to have before you can be classified as disabled. I know when I went for my mobility parking permit, I had to get a license for that, and or whatever they call it, and I had to write down and get, I think I even had to get a note from my GP about that, if I remember rightly. Gosh, I'm going back a good few years now. But yeah, and if it's 24% of the population, 11% of that 24 were children, 27% of all adults identified as disabled. As you said, it's about one in four. But they're 2013 figures from the Stats New Zealand. And I have heard that there are conversations going on at the moment about establishing a ministry for disabled person or people. And this is from Carmel Cepelloni, who is the Minister for Social Development and Minister for Disability Issues.
Right.
And I do hope that that ministry does eventuate.
When are they looking at maybe making this ministry a reality?
Well, hopefully it is thought that it might be around about the middle of the year.
All right.
But, yeah, anyway, I need to sort of follow through on that. And if it does become established, I guess I've got to go and, dare I use the word, squawk to them.
Well, why not?
Precisely, because they need input from the community. Yeah. But I say the word squawk because sometimes I feel as though that's what I need to do to get people to really recognise the difficulty of the problem I'm discussing.
You've got to get people mobile with their state of health, whether it's mental health, physical health, whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Out and about. Right, well, guess what?
You're going to tell me we're out of time.
We're just about out of time, Jill. It's me talking far too much.
I never say that, because I think that an alternative or different point of view is good, because you have a different life experience to me.
Well,
simple as that.
We're still here, and we look forward to still being here in a fortnight.
We will.
We'll
Thank
continue
you.
The conversation. Jill Stansfield joins us every fortnight with our Age-Friendly Cities and Communities program, representing Kapiti Older Persons Council here at Coast Access Radio. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.